Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Good evening, Browns fans, and welcome to the Gang of Three. My name is Barry McBride. I am trying to add Lane to the stage. There he is. I'm the publisher of the OBR. With me, Mr. Pete Smith, Mr. Lane Atkins. How's it going, fellas?
It's going.
Fabulous.
Just fabulous. Yes, it is. It is definitely going. Whatever should we talk about today? Cleveland Browns obviously making a gigantic trade, one that will be remembered in history, yet to be determined what the evaluation of it will be historically, but we are going to try to get ahead of the game a little bit tonight, talk about the deal of the two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year to the LA Rams for 25-year-old Jared Verse, a 2027 first-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick, and a 2029 third-round pick. That is quite a haul, but Myles Garrett, quite a player. Let's start with you, Pete. First impressions, did the Browns get enough for the reigning Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, we won't know the answer to that until we see what they do with the picks. I mean, ultimately, that's what this is going to be judged on. Like, right now you're trading essentially Myles Garrett for Jared Verse, and you're not going to win that battle. So it's all a question of what are those picks end up being? I think as much, I completely understand why people are sort of looking at this and going, they didn't get enough, because I don't think there was a trade where anyone was going to believe they did get enough, especially when you contrast it against what they were able to get for the Travis Hunter trade, which was largely out of thin air. But I think from the Browns standpoint, I disconnect the quarterback element entirely, because I think that doesn't help you in this scenario by going, well, the Browns are essentially trading Myles Garrett for a shot at the quarterback. I think that's unreasonable and unrealistic. What I do think you have to look at this as is the Browns traded Myles Garrett at 30, whatever you want to say. I think he could play another 10 years. I've said that pretty consistently. And if he does, it will look real bad. Ultimately, unless the Browns do really, really well, you trade what is the best defensive end in football for what I believe and what the data backs up as a top 15 defensive end in football, who's 25, about to be 26, has multiple years left on his rookie deal, and sort of fits where the schedule of your team is. And then you have all these other picks. Now, what they do with those other picks, whether it's quarterback or otherwise, to be determined. But right now, it's you got a whole lot younger at the position, dropped off significantly because nobody's going to touch what Myles Garrett can do, but Jared Verse is very good. And you have these picks that can bolster your opportunities later. And whether or not they try to make a big plunge at quarterback, please don't. What I can say is, what has Andrew Berry done with picks the last 2 years? He's been pretty good, and I'm hoping it stays in that trend, which is why I hope they avoid trying to make that big plunge on an all or nothing bid for the quarterback position.
Lane, your thoughts, sir?
Well, let's get right down to it, because there's a lot to say here. First of all, I don't agree about the opportunity for them to select the quarterback by gaining all these draft choices. This opens up an opportunity that for them to do almost anything they want. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. It could be a corner. It could be anything. But it gives them the opportunity, because draft capital is so important in the NFL. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing this team accumulated. But now you get right down to the point. You look at a 2027 first, 2028 second, 2029 third, and Jared Verse, who is, since he's come into the league, he is third in quarterback pressures. So he's like the Abdul Carter of the NFL right now. He can pressure the quarterback. He's just not finishing. And that's something that you're going to need to see from this guy. But if you sit and you look at the tape, and everybody's screaming about this deal, and I get it. I understand why you'd be pissed off that you just traded Myles Garrett and didn't get 8 first-round picks. You know, this is something that just had to happen. And people are going to ask, what do you mean it had to happen? This thing with Myles Garrett has been a yearly thing where he goes off to another world, doesn't communicate, comes back, everything's supposed to be fine and dandy, ask him to be a leader. He's not the leader. And he wanted Jim Schwartz retained, and that didn't happen. And this guy's not talking to anybody. So there's a pattern here. And this plays into the entire equation. What they did a season ago in signing him is because they needed to get that deal done. What they did in reworking this deal and the dates and everything now opened up an opportunity, if somebody came knocking, for them to have an opportunity to deal him. This thing with Myles Garrett and the Rams and the Browns has been ongoing. It's been ongoing since prior to the draft. It got hotter during the draft. This is something that has been in the works and very quiet because they weren't there. And the Browns, at the end of the day, demanded Jared Verse. There was no deal without this guy. It's that simple. Because you can talk about all you want about rushing the passer and Myles Garrett being a Hall of Fame talent, and all he is. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame the minute he's done. And he's going to go to L.A., and he's probably going to do unbelievable things. And people in Cleveland and the fans are going to be disappointed because the guy that they brought in here maybe end up being a 12 to 14 sack guy. He has that potential. The problem is that he's not Myles Garrett, and people are never going to see the value of this deal. When you just look at the value of the deal, players and player, and all the numbers that they accumulated with these three draft choices, it's a solid deal. Do I like the deal? No, not really, because I believe Myles Garrett's got so much left in the tank. But it's going to come down to what they do with these draft selections. That's going to be the critical aspect of what happens here. They have to hit. They have to achieve with them. It's fitting into the scope of what they're doing with a young, talented roster. And they want to continue that. And they want to give themselves opportunities to make a move if they have to. And they've shown no reason to not want to make a move. They're very good at wheeling and dealing. And Andrew Berry usually doesn't get shafted, and everybody's going to come up and say, oh, Deshaun Watson. That Deshaun Watson deal is different on 18 different levels with everybody involved and what happened with that player. Okay, so you don't give the GM or the Browns or anybody a free pass because you ultimately made that pick. You made that selection. So now you got to deal with it. But what they've done now is they've worked their way to the opportunity to acquire that talent that they feel that they need to add to a very, very young roster that's getting better. So at the end of the day, you love it or hate it, Browns fans aren't going to like it, but I think at the end, I have a hunch that they're going to do okay with us.
Well, the big thing is the quarterback position doesn't have to come from the draft. You know, we just watched Sam Darnold sign with the Seattle Seahawks and win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts certainly was not, you know, the expected choice to win a Super Bowl. And if the Browns are a super attractive team, let's say they develop this offensive line and get a unit together and these wide receivers look good, and you have people sort of now looking at the Browns going, this is a place I want to play, and they sign one of those guys, yes, you can certainly look and see what's there in 2027 draft. And you can play the board and be a little bit more realistic as opposed to plunging all your assets into it. But let's say they get insert quarterback who can come in and be a really good player, and you have the freedom to now use those draft assets on something else. Sure, quarterback's still going to be up there. But just from what I've looked at, defensive end position, which they're going to need another one of those, another pass rusher, and corner look like they could be pretty strong in this draft class as well. So that's why I don't like attaching these two things together, because there are more than one way to get a quarterback, and I'd rather they make this like the initial reaction for a lot of people, well, the Browns should tank. Like, you're not making anyone want to play here by tanking, in addition to the fact they want the players who are here to be successful. You want, you know, the conversation coming out of this draft was, hey, if the Browns and Jets, these two teams, they get it together and they get a real quarterback or do what they've done, they could be the most two appealing franchises for a quarterback to go play for. That's how they should approach this situation. Give yourself as many swings as possible. So a veteran could come here. You could have a trade option that says, I want to go to the Browns. Or the draft comes and you have draft picks saying, I want to play in Cleveland, as opposed to, well, we decided to lose our way to you and now we're stuck with it. Like, say what you will, I think Fernando Mendoza is a really talented quarterback. I think the Raiders are going to suck. And I think they're going to suck for the foreseeable future because it's just a really tough situation to be that bad. And the Browns are nowhere near as bad as the teams that you'd have to bottom out to beat. Arizona was terrible before this trade, and now they got to play Myles Garrett twice. And they may be trading their best pass rusher to somewhere else. Like, the Jets and the Dolphins are way worse in terms of rosters. I challenge people to go look at the Dolphins roster and see if you could recognize some of the people on that roster. You're going to be like, who the hell are these players? So that's the other piece of this, is the quarterback position doesn't necessarily have to come to the breast. Certainly that would be my preference. I'm hoping all these quarterbacks that are being college football ball out. I'm certainly not getting my hopes up for Arch Manning. There are other guys that I think are really, really talented. I don't rule out the possibility that Darian Mensa could be the best quarterback in this draft, upcoming draft. Regardless, not attaching the quarterback position directly allows the Browns freedom, and they can play the board and see what happens and just play it as it lies. But the other part about this is, if you are Andrew Berry, you traded for Deshaun Watson, and now you have traded away Myles Garrett. The pressure on you is immense to deliver. Otherwise, that is going to be your epitaph for football forever. It arguably the worst trade in history, and then you traded away a guaranteed Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever to do it, and we'll find out what you have to show for it. So that's it. There's obviously a ton of pressure on Andrew Berry to deliver with that, which is why I totally understand why anyway we sit there looking at this and going, what did we really get?
Well, when you look at it, you can, you know, that perspective, and what we've already stated here is that it's going to come down to what these draft choices do for you. Bottom line, it gives you, they put themselves in the position to have an opportunity to move to get any type of player they want with the capital that they've gained. So regardless of the position, they've put themselves in that position. Now you trade away an all-world defensive end, pass rusher, who just annihilates people, and now you have to sit back and hope that this works. The youth and everything that they've accumulated, it gives you reason to be hopeful, to believe that maybe they can get this done, because they've done extremely well in the past 2 years of accumulating young talent in the draft, undrafted free agents. There's things that they've done that makes you want to believe that they can do this. And just don't think that Andrew Berry was on a whim and he just told Jimmy Haslam, hey, I don't want to trade Myles Garrett for this. This is something that it hasn't just happened in the last couple months. They were tired of the drama. They were tired of the non-communication. The only reason it was put up with was because of the player, what he brought, what he could do. It's over. They don't have to deal with that no more. You've seen your head coach getting frustrated with having to answer questions about, is Myles Garrett going to show up? Well, if he was a damn leader, he was asked, would have been there, especially with a new staff and young players. So that's the only part of the thing that pisses me off about it all, because I love Myles Garrett as the player. But everything else with him, I could do without. So to me, I'm willing to watch and see what they can do with these picks and bank on the future, because they've been impressive where they're going. And I still believe that quarterback position is going to be ultimately the spot that's either going to make it or break it for this team. And it's not going to take long to find out if they hit on something. If it's Watson, if it's Sanders, if it's Dillon Gabriel, if it's your sixth round pick, it's the opportunity is still there to find out. And that's what you play the game for. So at the end of the day, people are going to be pissed about the deal. They won't understand it. They won't think that they got enough value. And that's going to be on the Browns to show the value to themselves as an organization so the fans can get behind it. And that's just going to take time.
The other part about this is the Jared Verse piece. I don't think people understand how good he is.
He's excellent.
And I'm somebody who would not have drafted him. He would have been outside my age guardrails. He would have been too old and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, he played really, really well, was fantastic, and now he's 26. And now the whole script is flipped. He's a 26-year-old guy on a rookie deal, and now you're reaping the benefits. PFF has him 189 pressures the last 2 years. He is a sledgehammer in terms of how he plays the position. He is all power, club, bull rush, and then he can swim and do these other things. But he goes through guys, as opposed to Myles Garrett, who has the ability that just God-given ability to just slip past people and immediately get to the quarterback. So when you are trampling human beings, and if you look at Jared Verse, he's not beating tomato cans. He's getting sacks against guys like Lane Johnson. He's getting sacks against Jordan Mayata. He's getting sacks against guys like Tristan Wirfs. These are like really, really good, the best the NFL has to offer, and he's able to do that. But what he's going to do in terms of the run game, he destroys the line of scrimmage. He's going to set up what I think this defense wants to do, which is going to be doing a whole lot of blitzing and shrinks the pocket and creates angles for those guys to succeed. Myles Garrett is arguably is literally the best football player I've ever seen play the game live. And I don't expect that's going to change anytime soon. But I am legitimately excited about watching Jared Verse, and my hope is that people don't sit there and get basically in a more direct way, basically treat Jared Verse the way they treated Jerome Ford, and then basically never giving Jerome Ford, who was just a fifth-round pick, for the awful crime of not being Nick Chubb when Nick Chubb went down with the knee injury. Like, Jared Verse is going to be a really good player, and him and Graham are going to be a really good combination. Don't punish him for being Myles Garrett. You can sit there and quibble with the picks, fine, but and say what you will, I'm not going to get caught up in this notion of, well, Jared Verse is worth two first round picks for all this, but he is at least worth one. He is absolutely worth a mid first round pick. You would absolutely trade a top 15 pick to get a guy like to get Jared Verse on your football team. And I don't doubt that the Rams tried to pawn off something along the lines of Byron Young and picks first to try to protect Jared Verse and basically desperately hope that they could keep all those guys intact. They had to give up a phenomenal player to get Myles Garrett. And in that sense, it plays off more like the Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford element, where Jared Goff has been a very good quarterback for the Lions, hasn't propelled them to a Super Bowl, but has been very, very good. I think Jared Verse will be a very, very good player for the Browns, and now we'll see what they do with those picks.
Lane, what do you think about the notion that Jared Verse is the guy who made this deal happen?
He did, man. That's what it comes down to. This deal doesn't happen if the Rams don't include Jared Verse. We said that in the ATI and Rumor Central. This deal doesn't happen. The Browns like this guy. He's big, he's physical, he's strong. He just may give him a different physical element that they didn't have, because Myles Garrett was just big and just got around people and annihilated people. And at times you looked at it and just wondered, is it that easy for him? Jared Verse is a guy that comes to work every day, brings his lunch pail, slams people, just bullies his way through. And he's been very effective. I mean, exceptionally effective. And we were told, no Verse, no deal. That's why this thing it went on for months. I wish we would have known this months ago. Jared Verse is the guy the Browns wanted. The draft picks were always there. They didn't want another one instead of the player. They wanted the player because he's a one plus, and he fits within everything that they do. And you're going to see a more active defense. You're going to see blitzing. You're going to see more coming from your linebackers. You're going to see a much more big safety. They're going to do a lot of things defensively that you haven't seen here. It's going to be a different look. There's a lot of things that are going to be the same, but the differences are going to be very noticeable. And their hope and belief is that Jared Verse brings the versatility and supplies the pressure that he has with the first couple of years in the league. And that's what they're banking on. And these draft choices are going to be the thing that either makes this thing work or pushes it over the top. It's going to be interesting to see.
I'm sorry, I have to put this up on screen. But at any rate, I think one of the things that Browns fans are going to struggle with is, you know, obviously the Browns are not a better team tonight than they were this morning, right? Because Myles Garrett is a generational player. Jared Verse may be, you know, an up-and-comer, financially smart move, you know, all this. I mean, he's not Myles Garrett. But you add into that the Browns' history of big trades. And I'm sure I forget somebody here, but the two which spring to the top of my mind was Paul Warfield for Mike Phipps and the deal for Deshaun Watson. We don't have a good history when it comes to making big deals. And so I think Browns fans are right to be somewhat cynical that this is going to be different. But if you look at it in detail, there is potential upside. Here's my take on it real quick. This is all about timelines. The Rams timeline, their window of opportunity is now. They dove through it. The Cleveland Browns window of opportunity is 27, 28, 29 with all the youth on the roster. And they are making a trade that fits their timeline with the contract that Verse has, all these draft picks, all that sort of thing. And so if you look at it from that perspective, noting, as you guys said very accurately, that it all depends on what we get with those draft picks. But if you look at it that way, you know, this is a trade that in some ways makes sense for both sides. It is a potential win-win here based on the element of time. Am I following?
I agree with that.
You there, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thought process here, is it can be a win-win. Now, for the Rams to win, it's the Super Bowl. And unfortunately, the Browns are that's sort of the big trade-off, is the Rams get the prize, whereas the Browns have to sort of wait. And that's unfortunately all too often the case. Now, obviously, so much of this comes down to digging out of the rest of the Deshaun Watson deal, and you lose an all-time player as a result of said deal, which is why I'm saying don't try to repeat the same mistake and trade three first-round picks and whatever the hell else you want to cobble together for one player in the form of a quarterback and put the entire franchise on that player, because it's just a bad way to operate. But if you are smart with what you've done, if you continue to play at this like Andrew Berry has played the last two drafts, I think you can do well. I also think that people are quick to discount the fact of the – even if it's 32, and we'll see, this pick they're getting next year – the 2027 class is stacked at positions that are not just quarterback. In fact, if you're sitting there going, well, we heard this before last year, fine. I will tell you, go ahead and be extremely skeptical of the quarterback position. Watch the other positions and particularly positions the Browns are going to be looking at. And there are a ton of good football players that you're going to want, and then suddenly be happy you have that pick. So that's where this thing ends up. The other part is, you know, they had to get a defensive end to help them now. Like, you can sit there and understandably maybe mad that you don't have Myles Garrett, and that makes you a team worse right now. But they could not just take picks and have a defensive end room of Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, and undrafted rookies. It just was completely unserious. And if Jimmy Haslam is to be taken seriously in terms of expectations about winning, you can argue how realistic he's being on that. That was a key piece. And then Todd Monken wasn't going to sit there and go, you mean you're trading away the best player and I get nothing this year? Then it would have been fair. And I've already seen speculation at this point anyway that he's a lame duck anyway. But the bottom line is, you get a player that can help you right now. Is it Myles Garrett level good? No. But if they continue to build, and you're going to be happy to have Jared Verse getting a contract extension in a year, along with Mason Graham, Carson Schwesinger, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, and all these other players they've sort of cobbled together that look pretty damn good. They defense should continue to be good. It may take a somewhat of a step back, but we'll be in position to hopefully be really, really good again if they can add another defensive end and guys take the necessary steps forward on this unit. Like, they have reason to be excited about what they have in terms of young talent. So that's the piece that we don't deal with. The part that Lane's talking about is very easy for me as somebody who's not consistently in the building to deal with walking in and going, hey, Myles Garrett's going to show up and get 20 sacks this year, and it's great. They have to deal with it every day, and that part is a factor. Whatever that looks like, that is a factor. So if they get some more harmony out of this, that's a small bonus. Is that worth the deal? To be determined. But ultimately, if Jared Verse is going to show up and be excited to be here, there is a benefit to that and having him buy into what they're trying to do and be excited about Mike Rutenberg and everything this team is doing. So again, the skepticism is completely warranted until we figure out what those picks are going to do. But like, I can't say enough. Jared Verse is a really, really, really good player.
All I can add is that the number of draft picks that this team is going to have next year, early the following year, that's going to define who they are and what they become. And we can sit and scream and about this trade all we want today. And today is a loss. Okay. You're not a better team today. And that this trade is all about what they're going to be in a year or so, in 2 years. That's where all this is going to come down to. I understand people's frustration and saying, hating this deal, and you know, then because we're telling you the pros and cons of what happens here, that we're spinning some bullshit out of here on this show, which is crazy. You're being, this is what it is. There's nothing else. There's nothing hidden behind a secret door. What we are laying out is exactly what it is. If there wasn't seven different layers of reasoning behind this deal doesn't happen. So today, the Cleveland Browns are not a better team. Capital-wise, they have the opportunity to be a very good team, because you couple that with everything that they've done over the last 2 years. So let's not just sit here and talk away and scream and moan and everything, because this is what it is. At the end of the day, this is what it is, and this is what fans have to deal with. And I understand this, the skepticism, the hate, the disgust, because it's gone on forever. And as Barry alluded to, you know, their history of making deals isn't the best thing that you've seen, because they've made some real winners in the past. But they've never, well, yeah, because it's another Hall of Famer that they just traded away. And that hurts a little bit, because if there was an identifying factor for Browns fans in the National Football League, is that you are guaranteed to hear about the Browns and Myles Garrett. And you just lost that. Now you have to hope that all this youth and everything that they're putting together changes that path and the perception of what this team is. And we're going to find out beginning late July what this team's going to become, because it's going to be a more physical camp. And it's going to be more demanding. And it's going to be more demanding on players mentally and physically. And they're going to be held accountable. You keep screwing up, your ass is out of here. You're going to go sit. It's going to be a very interesting summer. That's why I'm just sitting back, and I have some hope and I have some excitement, because I can see the pieces of the puzzle, how they're putting them together. This one hurts a little bit, but they have a guy who's going to go on there at the edge, and he's going to be solid for you, at least solid. And then you got to hope that all the youth and everything they put together works, because if it works, there's not going to be everybody screaming about Myles Garrett. They're going to be excited because the Cleveland Browns may actually win. And that's what is important when we get to that point.
So let's get real about a couple of things. Let's get real first about the question of what the Browns intend to do in 2026. I think there's a perception, Pete, that making this deal sort of admits that 2026 is what I'll call a bridge year, you know, a bridge to the future. It is not the year that the Browns are going to arrive. Do you think that's true? And how do you think Monken would guard against, you know, that sort of impression or that sort of attitude in the locker room?
Well, that's coming from the outside. That's all what they call noise. And inside of that room, there's none of this. My understanding is that there's no noise. There's not people screaming and that Myles Garrett was traded, because Myles Garrett was not that guy in a locker room. And when we talk about a bridge year, I could see what you're saying there, but I also believe that it's gung-ho going forward here. They're not sitting back and not trying to get something done. They're going to work and try to win football games this year. It's not about tanking. It's not about anything else. It's getting them another year, these young guys getting more experience, adding the depth, and getting to next year in that draft where they could make some just outstanding moves with the you know, that everything that they have to put together to move around. This team likes to move in the draft, and the opportunity's there. They just have to get to that point. I think they're going to be a better team this year. I believe that they're going to struggle at the beginning. I think they're going to pick up steam and play much better as they go along. I don't think it's going to be the mistake-prone team that doesn't pay attention to the specifics and everything else. So it is what it is. This is what you have. You're going to be decent in 2026, and you're hoping to take those next steps in 2027.
If you think Byron Young was the best edge on the Rams, you are drunk. Like, you are drunk. It's just not, it's not even a contest. They don't play the same sport. Jared Verse is easily a top 20 at worst, but top 15. He was a top 10 defensive end by PFF's grades his rookie year. He was top 14th this past year. And like, there's a lot of things you can complain about PFF for. They're really good at defensive line grading. So
for everybody listening and reading here, just go watch this young man. Go watch Jared Verse and see what he does.
Really good.
Before you have anything else to say and lose in your minds, go look and see. Look, he's a player. He has some dynamic ability, and he shows it. He's not Myles Garrett. It's never going to be Myles Garrett. But he's a guy, he's a component, supplemental piece that's going to come in here and do his job, and he's going to be efficient with it, and he's going to make noise. That helps the defense what they're trying to do right now.
But the on the larger picture, Todd Monken isn't waiting around. He's not waiting around to lose. He doesn't have time, and he coaches that way. He coaches with urgency. He understands. Todd Monken coaches like.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric. It's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
He's not sure he's going to be here next year because I don't think he is. He knows the deal. If they don't win more games, that on the day he was hired, Jimmy Haslam said he expects to win more football games. And I doubt Jimmy Haslam's going to back off that just because they traded Myles Garrett. Even if you think that's completely unrealistic, it would not surprise me if he literally comes out and goes, I expect to win more football games. Additionally, the Browns were trying to lose. Why get Jared Verse in the first place? You could just get picks and just have a terrible edge room. And that could be the reason that you sort of cascaded your way towards Arch Manning, if that's your goal. But picks are great. I like draft picks, but like, they need football players. And Jared Verse is absolutely a football player. They need more of them. Like, this is my problem is the Browns are the argument that the Browns need to tear it down to the studs. They already have by and large.
Yep.
They haven't done it in some one foul swoop where they literally do what they did in ahead of the 2016 season, where they tore the scaffolding down because there wasn't even anything there. They have slowly and pretty effectively like navigated their way through certain things. They obviously let a whole bunch of older players leave this past offseason. We shall see if the changes they made on the offensive line will pay off. They obviously invested heavily in wide receiver. They already made their defense younger last year by getting Mason Graham and Carson Schwechinger, and then adding Jared Verse to that group. Like, they've already done that part. Now they need real pieces to add to that. They're going to need another defensive end. They're eventually going to need another corner. Obviously, the quarterback position's there. They definitely need at least one more guard. At some point, they're getting into their tight end as well. But if they can get the one piece, the quarterback, this whole thing changes, and then the other stuff becomes far less of a glaring hole. But it's there, and those are things they're going to need. So having picks gives them the ability to do that. Or the other big element in why I don't want the Browns to sort of go all in on a particular player is I think Barry should have a rule in his head where he never trades away his first-round picks simply because he's really good at trading with first-round picks. Last 2 years, obviously, you get a lot of good fortune with the Jaguars basically losing their minds and giving up all those draft assets for Travis Hunter, but you're happy to take the advantage of that. This past year, good fortune, but smart on the Browns' part to take basically the trade down from 6 to 9 and get free assets for the player you wanted anyway. There's certainly an element of luck in that, but like you can't make that luck if you trade away those picks. And we sit there and go, well, we're waiting until day two of the draft to finally get on the action. And then when we trade down, there's just not much of an impact. So I'm hoping Barry recognizes what he's done well and is not quick to sort of give up those things. Now there are ways they can sort of make a splash, but give themselves some flexibility. So it wouldn't shock me if there's a world where the Browns use their own first-round pick and other assets to sort of move up and get the quarterback they want and hang on to 32nd pick because they want to keep that piece, or let's say 32nd for the sake of argument, whatever it ends up. I mean, keeping that piece is the ability to sort of maintain that flexibility and continue to cascade draft assets and continue to add draft capital, because the more capital you have, the more options you have, which I think is a good policy. Like, as much as I hate trading away Myles Garrett, I can at least respect the thought process of how they're trying to build this team. But like, the pressure's on. You have to make it matter. Otherwise, everybody's going to sit here and go Paul Warfield all over again, except worse.
Well, I guess my second get real question has to do with, you know, we heard from Andrew Berry that they looked at Garrett as being a one-team player, you know, with the Browns through his career, the career Brown, all that sort of stuff. And they wound up dealing him. And I'm hearing the same things right now about Denzel Ward. You know, that Denzel Ward is not going to be traded. The Browns have said, you know, it's a hard no on Denzel Ward. Is that what you're hearing, Lane? Or do you think that if the right deal came around, they'd do something like that?
If the right deal came along, they would do something like that. They're deficient in quality cornerback on the roster right now. So anything that they did or do would have to involve a corner unless they get a corner somewhere else. I don't believe that these guys, as we've heard about Myles Garrett and now Denzel Ward speculation over the last few months, I would not put it past them to deal the local corner. Just because there's a cost, injury, age, all this, you put that all in one bucket and then you start to wonder, well, if I can do this, this, and this, I can get younger, cheaper, and potentially better. But again, you're banking on youth. And I think in a deal with Denzel Ward or a side deal that they make, they have to get a corner who can play this game, because you can't expose yourself in dealing him today. And I don't expect a trade in the immediate future with Denzel Ward. But I think as we go along in the 2026 season, I certainly believe that is an opportunity that may come up again for them, maybe no later than next year, next offseason. I just think that what they're trying to do is that they're in that talent accumulation mode where they're younger, cheaper, and can play within what they want to play in. And the injury factor alone can scare a lot of people. So today, I don't see a Denzel Ward deal happening. I wouldn't be surprised that we're not even talking about him a year from now. So it's going to be interesting to see the direction.
And they've got to get something back. It was absolutely imperative that the Browns got young defensive end help back in the Myles Garrett trade. Like, it cannot be stated enough. They were not going to just trade. I know there are people who are like, love the mystery box and would have loved three mystery boxes as opposed to players. Even though Jared Verse is a really good player, the Browns you'd have to think they take the same approach if they were going to make a move with Ward, where they're getting a younger player back at the same position, because right now it's Tyson Campbell, and then who's really good, and then it's D'Angelo Ross as your next corner up. Like, that's not great. And a bunch of undrafted rookies or guys who have played no meaningful football. So like, it's trickier from that standpoint. You need to get players back. Now, if you could get a deal where you trade Denzel Ward and you get a young player back and something, okay. Like, at least there's a conversation. And again, it's logical. we'll see if it comes to fruition. But that's what makes those deals tricky.
Yeah, I'm pretty sympathetic to the folks in the chat who are upset about the deal. I get it. I totally understand. As I was sitting here, I was thinking of another bad Browns deal, which was the trading the draft pick that became Julio Jones. I mean, it's just pain after pain after pain. But it's another reason Levi makes this point here in the chase. Is, you know, Verse was awesome when he was in FSU. He didn't like the draft compensation, especially when you saw what Green Bay got.
The Browns got more. What people don't seem to understand about the Micah Parsons deal, and like somebody got this wrong earlier today, saying the Browns got less in I will make the point here. The Browns got more than the Green Bay Packers did in the Micah Parsons deal. And there's a big reason for that. The Browns got to use that draft capital, the start of that draft capital, immediately. They waited 10 minutes before they could cash in the pick that they traded down for what would be Travis Hunter, if you believe that was who the Browns were going to take. It's who the Jags took. They waited 10 minutes until they could take Mason Graham. They had to wait a day until they took Quinshon Judkins. The trade was made after the draft. The Packers traded first-round picks that they weren't going to lose for 10 months. So the deal for the Cowboys was essentially right away Micah Parsons for Kenny Clark and waiting. Like, that's genuinely a worse deal. So, yeah, they eventually got 16th pick. Great. And now they've got to wait another year for that other pick to come through, assuming that wasn't the pick that they already traded for Quinn and Williams. Like, to say that the Browns got less by getting Jared Verse, good player, and certainly better than Kenny Clark, that's another insane take I've seen people take. Kenny Clark, 2018 and 2021 are a long way behind Kenny Clark. He is a $20 million defensive tackle who's playing half that right now at best. So the Browns get a player who's absolutely better than Kenny Clark, has a longer-term future than Kenny Clark, is going to get extended next year so long as he doesn't basically die on the field, and a first-round pick next year, and then a second-round pick and a third-round pick. Like, the comparison to Micah Parsons is insane. This is the problem. It's like people would this is why it's very frustrating. People would rather have picks than players because they can, you know, fetishize what that player could be. The idea of, what's in the mystery box? It could be Jared Verse. Like, you got that player already. And if you're thinking, oh, it could turn into Myles Garrett, okay. Like, I guess theoretically, there's a very, very low proposition chance that's going to happen. You got a proven player in the trade. So, no, I can't think of a defensive player who's ever gone for more than what the Browns got in this trade. Unless you think you've got to come up with player trades that make more sense. The Browns got a big haul. I actually projected the Browns to get less than this when I wrote the article for this morning. I had them getting a 2027 first, Jared Verse, and a 2029 first. 2028 second and then a 2029 third is more than that based on how you do the math. So that's the other part, is this notion that second and third round picks aren't valuable is also, I think doesn't help this conversation. Yeah, it would not feel great if it's the 64th pick in 2 years, but a lot can change in 12 months. And maybe even if the Rams win the Super Bowl this year, which is certainly not a given, they could fall apart in a year. Matt Stafford's back could go out at some point real quick and then find out Ty Simpson can't play. These are all things that are within the realm of possibility. Who knows? If the Rams somehow choke this year and don't win, it's going to look real bad for them if they can't they can't capitalize. And people, I think people forget, and this is the difference between, you know, winners getting to tell the story, you know, how close that Matthew Stafford deal came to sort of blowing up in their face when they came very close to not winning in 2021 when they were able to bring in Von Miller and Odell Beckham when the Browns did them a favor and helped him out by waiving him. But like that was very close to being a complete disaster if they don't win that. Then that's the margins they're playing in. So it could work. It could be great for the Rams. I totally understand and like in some ways appreciate their willingness to do this. Like, it's fun that they are willing to put it all out there and go for it. but I don't hate the process, even if I can sort of completely understand that people are frustrated with, we don't have basically the best non-quarterback in football for the next however many years.
Well, see, I look at it this way, and it's a very simple path. You traded, you made that deal, and you got back Jared Verse, who is a number one plus player. Then you got another first. Then you got a second. Then you got a third. The compensation does not feel to me that the Browns got washed in any way. The only way this thing falls apart is if they suck with those moves. Okay, as far as on paper and numbers and what you got coming back, at the end of the day, if the selections you make in them spots perform to at least that level, in that ballpark level, and fit within their scheme, at the end of the day, this whole thing could be very successful. You know, we talked and we already said, today it's not, just because apples to apples, it doesn't work. So don't forget how valuable the player is that they achieved in return. There's a lot of value there. The Rams didn't want to trade him. That tells you everything there is, that this thing hem-hawed around for months because the Rams didn't want to get off the pot and lose that player. And the Browns stuck to their guns because they didn't have to trade Myles Garrett. So, like we've been saying, you have to wait a little bit, and you got to see how this whole thing plays out, because you're just going to go back and forth beating your head. And the worst thing it's going to be is that the 2026 season, if this team isn't any good, the only thing you're going to hear about is that they could have been better if they had Myles Garrett, and Jared Verse isn't Myles Garrett, and they could have won this game. They could have won this game. They could have won with this game. And to that, I will say, what has their record been? And they're making these moves to try to improve that. Not saying I agree and love the deal, because I'm not happy with it, and I'm in the wait and see mode like a lot of people are. But this is what you do when you need to accumulate talent. Myles Garrett's one guy, and he's a superstar, but you have the ability now to get four players, and couple that, if they start wheeling and dealing these picks like they normally do, to just add a handful of talented players to a team that's already just achieved a bunch of talented players over the last 2 years. And in the NFL, you win by having talent, having a quarterback, and solid coaching. That's what you have to have, and that's where they're working toward.
All right, fair enough. Pete, any comment on that?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing with that is, like, Myles Garrett is a singular force, but it's really difficult to win when that singular force is not at the quarterback position. So the Browns are trying to spread out their assets to more spots. Instead of just Myles Garrett, who's phenomenal and irreplaceable, you get Jared Verse plus. How many pluses, we'll see. It could theoretically end up being four for one trade in terms of the players. And that's the other part. Again, when you insist on saying, well, all of this is for the sake of the quarterback, then it turns into this one for one convoluted trade, which makes no sense. If the Browns do well, they could get four players out of that. If those four players are good, you're going to be really happy with the overall return, even if they can never match what Myles Garrett does as a singular force. And in that sense, and this is the thing, I've been against this trade the whole time. But yep. when I approached the idea of it, which is why I wrote what I wrote, I had to figure out how if I was going to seriously entertain this, how would I look at it? Well, I'm going to make sure I get a very, very talented young defensive end. Well, they did that. And then I'm going to try to get as many draft assets as possible to go along with it. We can quibble over that. I think the problem that most people don't seem to want to sort of acknowledge is that wherever Garrett was willing to take a trade, they were going to end up picking in the bottom five of the first round, most likely. Like, I had four teams pegged for the Browns. And I know two of them were involved in the Eagles and the Rams. If the Eagles added Myles Garrett to Jalen Carter and that defense and everything they had, they were going to pick bottom five in the round. If the Chargers added Myles Garrett to their roster and they stay healthy, they're going to pick bottom five in the first round. If the The Buffalo Bills were able to trade Greg Rousseau to the Browns and a whole bunch of picks. They were absolutely going to pick in the bottom five of the round. Three of the teams I mentioned routinely were picking in the bottom five of the round already. This is the reason Myles Garrett wanted to go to these places. He wanted to go and compete. He could put the kibosh on any of these things. And ultimately, that's where I sort of ended up on this theory of, well, they're probably better off keeping him. And we'll see if that proves to be true. But just from a standpoint of what did they have to get in this deal, they checked those boxes, which is why I'm hoping this can end up being a win-win for the Browns. But I am very prepared for the possibility they're going to sit here and Myles Garrett is going to do exactly what Reggie White did and have a Defensive Player of the Year award at 37 years old. And we're sitting here going, we gave away 7 years of this phenomenal player for what may not feel great about it.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern. You know, I think, you know, everybody says, well, we only won, you know, X number of games over the last couple of years with Garrett. You know, how much worse can it be? But I remember back to the Pittsburgh game, you know, where Aaron Rodgers basically gave the game away because he was so scared of Myles Garrett getting a sack record against him, and he refused to throw downfield. I put up a post a little bit earlier with someone saying, I think accurately, that the biggest winner in this trade is Joe Burrow. He doesn't have to face Myles Garrett twice a year anymore. But I think the biggest loser in this trade is the Browns' defensive secondary, right? Because now that, you know, that entire factor of Garrett getting the quarterback so quick that he rushes his decisions, it's going to be lesser now that Garrett is gone. You know, this puts pressure on Campbell and Ward, doesn't it, Lane?
Okay, I was having a bad connection here. I missed most of that. I'm sorry.
Yes, it puts pressure on the corners. Yes, the idea of trading Myles Garrett puts pressure on the corners. Now, it obviously will depend on how the Browns run their defense because Lane sort of touched on it. I think it's going to be a big factor is they're going to blitz more. They're going to use more guys to blitz. I think you're going to see safeties coming a lot more often from different angles, but they certainly like to send Quincy Williams and Carson Schwechter. So the risk is that Myles Garrett's presence on the field shortened everybody's clock in terms of how quickly they operated. The flip side of that is you can sort somewhat get lulled into a false sense of security in that Myles Garrett isn't there, so I'm going to hold on to the ball longer than maybe I should. And that may open them up for more sacks that otherwise, because everybody knew Myles was going to be here in this amount of time, so I have to get rid of the ball. So it does change the math on that, and it is a real factor that they're going to have to work around, which is, again, why I sit here and go, yes, I'm thrilled to have Jared Verse on this football team. I'm also looking ahead and going, they need to find more pass rush. Obviously, they are also counting on Mason Graham to take a big step forward, and I think he's primed to do that. We'll see what happens when we get some pads. But for what I've seen, he's doing everything that suggests a guy is going to – just the way he practices, it stands out. They obviously need Mike Hall to step up and be a dude this year. We'll see about that. They need Malik Collins to come back and be healthy, and those guys need to deliver. But that front and the amount of things they want to throw at the defense is hopefully going to help alleviate some of that. But, yeah, it's a real concern, and certainly, yes, this certainly bolsters my case that the Joe Burrow-led Cincinnati Bengals are – the favorites to win the AFC North, which isn't great either. But yeah, I mean, that's, I absolutely think that's a factor.
Do you think this strength changes strategy a bit? You know, Verse is more of a mauler. Garrett was more a guy who could run to the outside, run around the end. Do you think we're going to see more blitzing from the outside to try to recreate that sort of pressure that Myles Garrett was able to create
everywhere? They're going to blitz everywhere. They'll blitz them because by virtue of what Jared Verse does, he, as I said, he's a sledgehammer. So with the Rams, they stunted a ton, and they had to because of the way their defense was constructed. But a lot of their stunting was Jared Verse destroying somebody to clear space for somebody out. Certainly he can do that for a tackle, on a tackle to hopefully create a short porch for a guy blitzing off the edge, but he can also slam into a guard or a center crashing down to clear out a path for somebody coming up the middle like Carson Schwechter or something like that. So I think that's going to be the element, is creating angles and just throwing a lot of different ways to do it, more stunts, more misdirection, creating problems that, you know, if the Browns are defense is good and the offense is better, then putting them in more obvious passing situations where the Browns can basically break all the rules in terms of pass protection.
All righty. Well, you know, we are 55 minutes into the program and we haven't talked about quarterbacks yet, other than tangentially about Myles Garrett maybe turning into one via those draft picks. So let's talk about quarterbacks for a minute. Sorsby, sounds like Monken is essentially saying he's not the deal. The question is, will the Browns use the first or second first for Sorsby? I think that is way too high. I don't think Sorsby's going to go to the mid-rounds. You disagree with me, Pete?
Finally, somebody, the benefit of having an old coach who is around for Pete Rose understands what's at stake here. He said it straight up, like he's like his youth was Pete Rose getting kicked out of the sport, or watching Pete Rose growing up and all these other things, and finding out he's banned from the sport. Like, that's on the table, and nobody seems to want to acknowledge it. Now, I think it's more likely that he's going to get a year, because that's been the policy of the NFL. And as much as the NFL should theoretically think about banning him forever, given that he bet 40 times on his own team, we found out, it's too risky from that standpoint. You're the team that drafted Johnny Manziel. You're the team that drafted Josh Gordon. Stop taking these stupid risks where you can see the peril in front of you and saying, nah, no problem, we'll figure it out. Like, that ignores the problem of it. Let's say if he's suspended, you're not going to get him for a year. You're going to be in 2027 and you're probably going to draft a quarterback anyway or something else. Or he's on the roster and now you have to find – people are complaining that the Browns had four quarterbacks and now they're sitting there going, hey, bring in a fifth, who, by the way, is 3 months behind everybody else because he won't show up until training camp starts. Like, he's not ready to play this year, and now he's behind the eight ball because he's so far behind everybody else. He needs so much work. And I liked Brendan Sorsby as a prospect, and I liked the fit of him going to Texas Tech. I thought that was going to be a really, really good move for him. But then he completely blew it up for his own entirely issues of his own making. It's not like he got hurt. It's not like something else, like some family tragedy struck his life. He actively chose to bet illegally, mind you, illegally. That's the other part about this. He wasn't even betting legally because he's not technically old enough to do it, and bet on it, and then came up with a lame excuse. I bet to feel closer to my teammates. What the hell are you talking about?
Imagine what we don't know.
Right. This is the stuff he's admitted. He said straight up, he said this. This is the stuff he's telling you beforehand. I bet on my own team, and my excuse is to feel close to my teammates. And you got this poor Texas Tech head coach trying to say, yeah, it's been a really tough time for Brendan. We think he'd be better off if he's in a team environment and gets to compete and do all these. Like, it's so stupid, and it's just so typical that there's always a portion of the fan base who sits there and goes, man, that shortcut's so tempting. I know there's danger and it's over a cliff, but I'm going to take that shot because maybe there's a quarterback over there, even though there's a nice safe path over here where there also might be a quarterback, but this one may be slightly faster. And this is what we've done. Watch this team do over and over and over again. And I go back to listening to people talking about trading draft picks for the Kevin Kolbs of the world and all those guys and Brian Hoyer contract extension. Like, nobody ever wants to do the hard stuff and just take a quarterback and figure it out. They always have to come up with some weird angle to try to cheat the system. Just
that young man's issue that he has and what we've only heard already eliminates me from any kind of conversation and discussion about wanting him, because you don't know what else there is. And you know, if you select this guy, you're giving up that pick to start with. And then you got to deal with a player who's not here, and then a player who's probably not going to play for at least a year. So I'm not sure where we need to even engage in that type of talk, because this team, this organization isn't in the position for another crapshoot. They went through with one with a quarterback when they made a deal, and they had to sit through a guy not being able to play for almost a year and everything else. So no, I don't believe that they're going to be in on Sorsby. If this none of this ever happened and he was crystal clean, I think they would have really considered it, but not with betting on your team and betting this and betting that. No, it's not happening.
All righty. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. If you disagree with us or you agree with us, please go to theobr.com and jump into our forums. Let us hear about it, you know, and there are plenty of people in those forums 24/7 who want to talk Browns with you. Please jump in and engage with that. It's a lot of fun and a little bit crazy. Lane, Pete, thanks, guys, as always. It's been fun. We'll be back again next week, probably with not quite as much news to report, for Gang of Three, 7:15 next Monday. We'll see you then. Good night, everybody.